We continue now with the Biblical Treasury of the Catechism, compiled and arranged by Reverend Thomas E. Cox, and lesson number 8. In question 79, we stated Christ died on Good Friday. Question 80. Why do you call that day good on which Christ died so sorrowful a death? We call that day good on which Christ died because by his death he showed his great love for man and purchased for him every blessing. God, who is rich in mercy for his exceeding charity wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together in Christ, by whose grace you are saved. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. That through death he might destroy him who had the empire of death. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. Who his own self bore our sins in his body upon the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live to justice, by whose stripes you were healed. 1 Peter, 2nd chapter, verse 24. And Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5. We were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Romans chapter 5, verse 10. In this we have known the charity of God, because he hath laid down his life for us. 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. Question 81. Where did Christ die? Christ died on Mount Calvary. And bearing his own cross, he went forth to that place which is called Calvary, where they crucified him. John chapter 19, verse 16 to 18. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, they crucified him there. Luke chapter 23, verse 33. Mark chapter 15, verse 22 to 24. And Matthew chapter 37, verses 33 to 35. Question 82. How did Christ die? Christ was nailed to the cross and died on it between two thieves. They crucified him. Luke chapter 23, verse 33. Matthew chapter 27, verse 35. Mark chapter 15, verse 25. And John chapter 19, verse 18. Then were crucified with him two thieves, one on the right hand and one on the left. Matthew chapter 27, verse 38. And with him they crucified two thieves, the one on his right hand and the other on his left. Mark chapter 15, verse 27. Luke chapter 23, verse 33. And John chapter 19, verse 18. Question 83. Why did Christ suffer and die? Christ suffered and died for our sins. I lay down my life for my sheep. John chapter 10, verse 15. Who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and might cleanse to himself a people acceptable, a pursuer of good works. Titus chapter 2, verse 14. He was offered because it was his own will. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 7. That through death he might destroy him who had the empire of death. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. He was wounded for our iniquities, he was bruised for our sins. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5. Without shedding of blood, there is no remission. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6. For the wickedness of my people have I struck him. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 8. It behooved Christ to suffer, that penance and remission of sin should be preached in his name unto all nations. Luke chapter 24, verses 46 and 47. Who was delivered up for our sins. Romans chapter 4, verse 25. Christ also suffered for us. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, and Romans chapter 5, verse 9. Christ died for our sins. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3, and 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, and Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28. Why did Christ, when as yet we were weak, die for the ungodly? Romans chapter 5, verse 6. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. 1 John chapter 2, verse 2. We were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Romans chapter 5, verse 10. Who His own self bore our sins in His body upon the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live to justice, by whose stripes you were healed. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all things to myself. John chapter 12, verse 32. For to this end Christ died and rose again, that He might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. Romans chapter 14, verse 9. Christ died for all. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15. You were not redeemed with corruptible things as gold or silver, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb unspotted and undefiled. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. Christ also died once for our sins, the just for the unjust. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. Who gave Himself for our sins, that He might deliver us from this present wicked world. Galatians chapter 1, verse 4. This is My blood of the New Testament, which shall be shed for many unto remission of sins. Matthew chapter 26, verse 28. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things, and so to enter into His glory? Luke chapter 24, verse 26. Question 84. What lessons do we learn from the sufferings and death of Christ? From the sufferings and death of Christ, we learn the great evil of sin, the hatred God bears to it, and the necessity of satisfying for it. What profit is there in my blood? Psalms chapter 29, verse 10. In this we have known the charity of God. 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. Without shedding of blood, there is no remission. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. The wages of sin is death. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. My word shall not return to me void. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11. If you live according to the flesh, you shall die. Romans chapter 8, verse 13. Think diligently upon Him that endured such opposition from sinners against Himself, that you be not wearied, fainting in your minds. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3. Question 85. Whither did Christ's soul go after His death? After Christ's death, His soul descended into hell. He hath made me to dwell in darkness as those that have been dead of old. Psalms chapter 142, verse 3, and Lamentations chapter 3, verse 6. He also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 9, and Ecclesiasticus chapter 24, verse 45. My flesh also shall rest in hope, because Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, nor wilt Thou give Thy Holy One to see corruption. Psalms chapter 15, verse 9 and 10, and Acts chapter 2, verse 31. The Son of Man shall be in the heart of the earth 3 days and 3 nights. Matthew chapter 12, verse 40. Question 86. did Christ's soul descend into the hell of the damned? The hell into which Christ's soul descended was not the hell of the damned, but a place or state of rest called limbo, where the souls of the just were waiting for him. He hath made me to dwell in darkness, as those that have been dead of old. Psalms chapter 142, verse 3. In which spirit also coming, he preached to those spirits that were in prison. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 19. Bring my soul out of prison. Psalms chapter 141, verse 8. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom, and the rich man also died, and he was buried in hell. Luke chapter 16, verse 22. This day thou shalt be with me in paradise. Luke chapter 23, verse 43. Question 87. Why did Christ descend into limbo? Christ descended into limbo to preach to the souls who were in prison, that is, to announce to them the joyful tidings of their redemption. He preached to those spirits that were in prison. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 19. For this cause was the gospel preached also to the dead, that they might be judged indeed according to men in the flesh, but may live according to God in the Spirit. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 6. That he might hear the groans of them that are in fetters, that he might release the children of the slain. Psalms chapter 101, verse 21. I will penetrate to all the lower parts of the earth, and will behold all that sleep, and will enlighten all that hope in the Lord. Ecclesiasticus chapter 24, verse 45. In the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those that are in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. Philippians chapter 2, verse 10. To preach a release to the captives, and deliverance to them that are shut up. Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1, and Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. Amen, amen, I say unto you, that the hour cometh, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. John chapter 5, verse 25. All that are in the grave shall hear the voice of the Son of God. John chapter 5, verse 28. That thou mightest open the eyes of the blind, and bring forth the prisoner out of prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. Isaiah chapter 42, verse 7. Thou also, by the blood of thy testament, hast sent forth thy prisoners out of the pit, wherein is no water. Return to the stronghold, ye prisoners of hope, I will render thee double as I declare today. Zechariah chapter 9, verses 11 and 12. The Lord hath heard the poor, and hath not despised his prisoners. Psalms chapter 68, verse 34. Question 88. Where was Christ's body while his soul was in limbo? While Christ's soul was in limbo, his body was in the Holy Sepulchre. My flesh shall rest in hope. Psalms chapter 15, verse 9. Joseph of Arimathea besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave leave. He came therefore and took away the body of Jesus, and Nicodemus also came. They took therefore the body of Jesus and bound it in linen cloths with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now there was in the place where he was crucified a garden, and in the garden a new sepulchre, wherein no man yet had been laid. There, therefore, they laid Jesus. John chapter 19, verses 38 to 42, Luke chapter 23, verses 50 to 53, Mark chapter 15, verses 43 to 46, and Matthew chapter 27, verses 57 to 60. Question 89. On what day did Christ rise from the dead? Christ rose from the dead, glorious and immortal, on Easter Sunday, the third day after his death. On the first day of the week, John chapter 20, verse 1, Luke chapter 24, verse 1. And the third day he shall rise again. Luke chapter 18, verses 33, and chapter 24, verse 7, and 9, verse 22. Matthew chapter 16, verse 21, and 17, verse 22, and chapter 20, verse 19. Mark chapter 8, verse 31, and chapter 9, verse 30, and chapter 10, verse 34. When the Sabbath was passed, and very early in the morning, the first day of the week, Mark chapter 16, verses 1 and 2. And in the end of the Sabbath, when it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, Matthew chapter 28, verse 1. Sir, we have remembered that seducer said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again. Matthew chapter 27, verse 63. Him God raised up the third day and gave him to be made manifest. Acts chapter 10, verse 40. With great power did the apostles give testimony of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 4, verse 33. Question 90. How long did Christ stay on earth after his resurrection? Christ stayed on earth 40 days after his resurrection to show that he was truly risen from the dead and to instruct his apostles. Then he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. Luke chapter 24, verse 45. Until the day on which, giving commandments by the Holy Ghost to the apostles whom he had chosen, he was taken up, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many proofs, for 40 days appearing to them and speaking of the kingdom of God. Acts chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. Because thou hast seen me, Thomas, thou hast believed. John chapter 20, verse 29. Jesus was manifested to his disciples after he was risen from the dead. John chapter 21, verse 14. Him God raised up the third day and gave him to be made manifest, not to all the people, but to witnesses preordained by God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he arose again from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was appointed by God to be judge of the living and of the dead. To him all the prophets gave testimony that by his name all receive remission of sins who believe in him. Acts chapter 10, verses 40 to 43. Question 91. After Christ had remained 40 days on earth, whither did he go? After 40 days, Christ ascended into heaven, and the day on which he ascended into heaven is called Ascension Day. And it came to pass, whilst he blessed them, he departed from them, and was carried up to heaven. Luke chapter 24, verses 50 and 51. Thou hast ascended on high, thou hast led captivity captive. Psalms chapter 67, verse 19, and Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8. And the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven. Mark chapter 16, verse 19. He was taken up. Acts chapter 1, verse 2. And when he had said these things, while they looked on, he was raised up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Acts chapter 1, verse 9. Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven. Acts chapter 1, verse 11. I ascend to my Father and to your Father, to my God and to your God. John chapter 20, verse 17. I go to the Father. John chapter 14, verse 13, and chapter 14, verse 28, and chapter 16, verse 16. Sing ye to God who mounteth above the heaven of heavens to the east. Psalms chapter 67, verses 33 and 34. I came forth from the Father and am come into the world. Again I leave the world and I go to the Father. John chapter 16, verse 28. Question 92. Where is Christ in heaven? In heaven, Christ sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. Who is on the right hand of God, being gone into heaven, the angels and powers and virtues being made subject to him? 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 22. And sitteth on the right hand of God. Mark chapter 16, verse 19. Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Acts chapter 7, verse 55. Who, having joy set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and now sitteth on the right hand of the throne of God. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Hereafter you shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of the power of God. Matthew chapter 26, verse 64, Mark chapter 14, verse 62, and Luke chapter 22, verse 69. The Lord said to my Lord, Sit thou at my right hand. Psalms chapter 109, verse 1, Matthew chapter 22, verse 44, and Acts chapter 2, verse 34. Jesus is at the right hand of God. Romans chapter 8, verse 34. Question 93. What do you mean by saying that Christ sits at the right hand of God? When I say that Christ sits at the right hand of God, I mean that Christ as God is equal to his Father in all things, and that as man, he is in the highest place in heaven next to God. Above all principality and power and virtue and dominion and every name that is named. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 21. He hath subjected all things under his feet, and hath made him head over all the church. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22. Glorify thou me, O Father, with thyself, with the glory which I had before the world was. John chapter 17, verse 5. Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. John chapter 13, verse 31. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being made in the likeness of men, and in habit found as a man. He humbled himself, becoming obedient unto death, even to the death of the cross. For which cause God also hath exalted him, and hath given him a name which is above all names, that in the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those that are in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that the Lord Jesus Christ is the glory of God the Father. Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 to 11. Jesus Christ, who is on the right hand of God, being gone into heaven, the angels and powers and virtues being made subject to him. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 21 and 22. Lesson 9. On the Holy Ghost and his descent upon the apostles. Question 94. Who is the Holy Ghost? The Holy Ghost is the third person of the Blessed Trinity. I will ask the Father, and he shall give you another Paraclete, the Spirit of Truth. John chapter 14, verses 16 and 17. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 2, verse 4. Why hath Satan tempted thy heart, that thou shouldst lie to the Holy Ghost? Thou hast not lied to men, but to God. Acts chapter 5, verses 3 and 4. When he, the Spirit of Truth, is come, he will teach you all truth. John chapter 16, verse 13. There are three that give testimony in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. 1 John chapter 5, verse 7. The Spirit of God moved over the waters. Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. The Spirit of God made me. Job chapter 33, verse 4. The Spirit of the Lord hath filled the whole world. Wisdom chapter 1, verse 7. The Spirit of our God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11, and chapter 2, verse 11, 12, and 14. The Spirit of Grace, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 29. The Spirit of Wisdom and of Understanding, the Spirit of Counsel and of Fortitude, the Spirit of Knowledge and of Godliness, the Spirit of the Fear of the Lord. Isaiah chapter 11, verses 2 and 3. Question 95. From whom does the Holy Ghost proceed? The Holy Ghost proceeds from the Father and the Son. When the Paraclete cometh, whom I will send you from the Father, who proceedeth from the Father. John chapter 15, verse 26. And I send the promise of my Father upon you. Luke chapter 24, verse 49. The Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. John chapter 14, verse 26. It is expedient to you that I go, for if I go not, the Paraclete will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. John chapter 16, verse 7. I will ask the Father, and he shall give you another Paraclete, the Spirit of Truth. John chapter 14, verses 16 and 17. The Holy Ghost, whom you have from God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. Question 96. Is the Holy Ghost equal to the Father and the Son? The Holy Ghost is equal to the Father and the Son, being the same Lord and God as they are. All things whatsoever the Father hath are mine. Therefore I said that he, the Holy Ghost, shall receive of mine. John chapter 16, verse 15. There are three that give testimony in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. 1 John chapter 5, verse 7. The Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape as a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven. Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. Luke chapter 3, verse 22. The Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10. The things also that are of God no man knoweth but the Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. Question 97. On what day did the Holy Ghost come down upon the apostles? The Holy Ghost came down upon the apostles 10 days after the ascension of our Lord, and the day on which he came down upon the apostles is called Whitsunday, or Pentecost. As yet the Spirit was not given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. John chapter 7, verse 39. He shall baptize you in the Holy Ghost and fire. Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. Mark chapter 1, verse 8. Luke chapter 3, verse 16. And Acts chapter 11, verse 16. Stay you in the city till you be imbued with power from on high. Luke chapter 24, verse 49. You shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Acts chapter 1, verse 5. And when the days of the Pentecost were accomplished, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a mighty wind coming, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them parted tongues as it were of fire, and it sat upon every one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak with diverse tongues. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. Question 98. How did the Holy Ghost come down upon the apostles? The Holy Ghost came down upon the apostles in the form of tongues of fire. And there appeared to them parted tongues as it were of fire, and it sat upon every one of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape as a dove upon him. Luke chapter 3, verse 22. Question 99. Who sent the Holy Ghost upon the apostles? Our Lord Jesus Christ sent the Holy Ghost upon the apostles. It is expedient to you that I go, for if I go not, the Paraclete will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. John chapter 16, verse 7. When the Paraclete cometh, whom I will send you from the Father. John chapter 15, verse 26. The Paraclete, the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. John chapter 14, verse 26. I send the promise of my Father upon you. Luke chapter 24, verse 49. Question 100. Why did Christ send the Holy Ghost? Christ sent the Holy Ghost to sanctify his church, to enlighten and strengthen the apostles, and to enable them to preach the gospel. When he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will teach you all truth. The things that are to come he shall show you. John chapter 16, verse 13, and John chapter 14, verse 26. When he is come, he will convince the world of sin and of justice and of judgment. John chapter 16, verse 8. I will ask the Father, and he shall give you another Paraclete, that he may abide with you forever. John chapter 14, verse 16. He shall give testimony of me. John chapter 15, verse 26. Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven them. They are retained. John chapter 20, verses 22 and 23. Take heed to yourselves and to the whole flock, wherein the Holy Ghost hath placed you bishops, to rule the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. It hath seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us. Acts chapter 15, verse 28. You are justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit of our God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11. Stay you in the city till you be endued with power from on high. Luke chapter 24, verse 49. The Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what you must say. Luke chapter 12, verse 12. You shall receive the power of the Holy Ghost coming upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, even to the uttermost part of the earth. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. The Holy Ghost said to them, Separate me, Saul and Barnabas, for the work whereunto I have taken them. Acts chapter 13, verse 2. Question 101. Will the Holy Ghost abide with the church forever? The Holy Ghost will abide with the church forever and guide it in the way of holiness and truth. He shall give you another paraclete, that he may abide with you forever. John chapter 14, verse 16. Behold, I am with you all days, even to the consummation of the world. Matthew chapter 28, verse 20. If anyone love me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him, and will make our abode with him. John chapter 14, verse 23. Know you not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. So they, being sent by the Holy Ghost, went to Seleucia. Acts chapter 13, verse 4. It hath seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us. Acts chapter 15, verse 28. Lesson 10th in the Biblical Treasury of the Catechism on the effects of the redemption. Question 102. Which are the chief effects of the redemption? The chief effects of the redemption are two: the satisfaction of God's justice by Christ's sufferings and death, and the gaining of grace for men. Blotting out the handwriting of the decree that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he hath taken the same out of the way. Colossians chapter 2, verse 14. Christ died for us, much more therefore, being now justified by his blood, shall we be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. Romans chapter 5, verses 9 and 10. For God indeed was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing to them their sins, and he hath placed in us the word of reconciliation. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19. Him that knew no sin, for us he hath made sin, that we might be made the justice of God in him. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the remission of sins according to the riches of his grace. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. If I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all things to myself. John chapter 12, verse 32. Having therefore, brethren, a confidence in the entering into the holies by the blood of Christ. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Through him to reconcile all things unto himself, making peace through the blood of his cross, both as to the things on earth and the things that are in heaven. Colossians chapter 1, verse 20. By grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, for it is the gift of God. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. Who his own self bore our sins in his body upon the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live to justice, by whose stripes you were healed. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. By whom also we have access through faith into this grace wherein we stand. Romans chapter 5, verse 2, and Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18. The grace of God and the gift by the grace of one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. Romans chapter 5, verse 15. Question 103. What do you mean by grace? By grace, I mean a supernatural gift of God bestowed on us through the merits of Jesus Christ for our salvation. You shall draw waters with joy out of the Savior's fountains. Isaiah chapter 12, verse 3. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 2. Thou hast visited the earth and hast plentifully watered it. The river of God is filled with water. Psalms chapter 64, verse 10. A river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Apocalypse chapter 22, verse 1. Unhappy man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? The grace of God by Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans chapter 7, verses 24 and 25. If thou didst know the gift of God and who he is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou perhaps wouldst have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. John chapter 4, verse 10. The water that I will give him shall become in him a fountain of water springing up into life everlasting. John chapter 4, verse 14. We will continue with the Biblical Treasury of the Catechism on tape number 5. Please join us.